Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show for Saturday, November 14th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. My first career after arriving in the United States was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the MCA label, a corporate consultant for Accenture, and today I'm a professional speaker, a trainer, an author of 5 books and 3 blogs, a certified professional coach, and a radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's show. Tom Peters said, "All of us need to understand the importance of branding. We are CEOs of our own companies, me incorporated. To be in business today, our most important job is to be head marketer for the brand called you." He said that in Fast Company, the magazine. By the way, today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD CI focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jdcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information. We have a wonderful show for you today. Joining us later will be Mark Miller, who will be taking your calls and your questions, so be sure to call us at 646-381-4198. And by the way, if you're listening online or you decide to give us a call, please mute your computers first. Today's show is titled Personal Branding for Baby Boomers. Baby boomers were raised to be obedient employees. We were expected to go to work for father-like corporations that would take care of us. But the world has changed. Those days are gone. We now need to look at ourselves as products, well-defined products that can be promoted worldwide. This is defined by personal brand. Can you afford to ignore developing and promoting your personal brand? If you want to stay employed for the next 20 years, which many baby boomers will need to do, the answer is no. In Personal Branding for Baby Boomers, Mark Miller breaks down the steps to building a great online reputation, specifically tailored to those 50 plus who find themselves job hunting or competing for work in today's, look at me, business environment. How can you compete for jobs with digital savvy Generation Xers and sharp-witted millennials? How can you do that? You can. We're going to cover some things today, such as what is a personal brand? Why should baby boomers care about it? How do you manage it? Let me tell you about our guest, Mark Miller. Mark's career journey included 22 years at IBM, several thriving tech startups, a painful stint as a high school teacher, a gig raising funds for the Jewish Community Association of Austin, and a near-fatal bicycle accident that changed his perspective forever. 30 years of wandering the proverbial career desert, often repeating the same mistakes over and over, taught him his most crucial lesson. Most people don't really know what makes them happy at their core, what fulfills them. They pursue money, status, a skill set, all of which provide some level of satisfaction, but not contentment. They wind up feeling frustrated and trapped, and others have figured out what they need, but don't know how to chart a course to get there. An active member of the Launchpad Job Club, Mark found himself counseling friends and associates on their career journeys and finally realized he'd found his vocation. He would use his extensive training experience to help others, especially baby boomers, find careers that they could grow into for the decades that lie ahead. Mark is passionate about his work and the clients that he serves, and he's taught in more than 35 countries and helped clients from many, many industries. You can learn more about him, by the way, at careerpivot.com. And Career Pivot is on the Forbes Top 100 Career websites. Welcome, Mark.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. It's great to be back with you.
I love having you as my guest. Welcome back. I'd like to know, what is a personal brand from a baby boomer perspective?
Well, if you go back, personal brand is what it really is. It's about your reputation. And so in the old days, and by the way, I am more than over 50, it was your reputation, which kind of moved around with you. People knew who you are, mostly from what you did for work. And as you went from job to job, your reputation followed you. The issue we have today is you are not just competing in your local market. You are competing around the world. And in other words, I've worked in a multitude of multinational organizations where the people I work with are all over the place. And by the way, I'm competing for work with people from all over the world. So what all comes down to is, how do prospective employers, how do they know you know your stuff? And much of that is now you have to put it out there online. So that's your personal brand, is what do people – I like Jeff Bezos, who's the CEO of Amazon. He says, your personal brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Yeah.
That's your brand.
Yeah. And in fact, I know that. And so whenever I hear people talking about other people when they're not in the room, I'll say, ooh, so that's that person's brand.
You got it.
What is the number one complaint that boomers have about this concept of personal branding?
Well, I hear over and over and over again, I'm not a brand, I'm a person. And my response is, get over it. You are a brand. You have a brand whether you like it or not. So one of the exercises I do with clients is I'll say, okay, go talk to three people who know you from work and three people who know you from socially, don't know you from work, and say, can you give me 3 to 5 words or phrases that describe me? In other words, you need to find out what people, how do they describe you? And I almost guarantee you there will always be a gotcha in there. And it may be the fact that some of us look very different socially than we do in our professional life. But I guarantee you, people who see you socially see you somewhat differently than people who know you from work. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference? Why? What are you doing? What's the commonality? And there will always be a surprise in there. Why? Because none of us see ourselves the way other people see us. In other words, we can't look at ourselves and how we behave in the mirror. Yvonne, you know this as a public speaker. When you've had yourself as a public speaker videoed and you see yourself, you almost always go, "That I did that?" In other words, you're going to be your harshest critic. But we don't see ourselves. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges, is the fact that we are a brand and we don't know what it is.
Yeah, and you know, I often mention to people that I coach that we see our intentions. We know what our intentions are, but people only see our behavior. And so that's what they're going to base that brand on, not what your intention was, but what they experienced of you in your interaction,
right,
or in being around you. And you're right, that's the brand. And I think boomers are uncomfortable with the concept also, because to your point in your book, if you talked about yourself, you come across as arrogant to that group of people. Baby boomers think if you talk about yourself or your brand, you're being arrogant or you're being a braggart or any number of ways of looking at it, as opposed to, oh, this is my brand, and I have a brand story, which hopefully we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I think one of the things is it's not about what you say, but it's how you act. It's how you carry yourself. It's the phrases and the expressions that you use. One of the key things is you have to be authentic. In other words, you can't make, you know, one of the biggest challenges is in our careers is very often we have morphed ourselves to look the way our employers want us to be. And who is the, who actually are you? Do you really know who you are? And then again, how do you want to take that and how do you want to be perceived? And again, you want to do that authentically. And that's, and again, that's getting people to help you, you know, kind of mirror that out. It's kind of like what we'll talk about is developing your brand story. Very often we have great difficulty, as we talked before the show, even with yourself, is it's hard to come up with the brand story because who am I? What is my authentic self and can I describe it? That's really hard.
Very hard. Very, very hard. As I was telling you before the show, I actually have invested money in a program to help me do that, and I was provided with a wonderful little template to fill out and all that kind of stuff. And that at the end of using this template, I'd push a button and I'd get my story. But even with that, I'm having a really, really hard time. And I think part of it is because as a baby boomer, often there is more to your story than just one story. You know, when you're in your 20s, you had a story. In your 30s, you had a story. In your 40s, you had a story. Along the way, you had many stories. You have your career story, your life story. It's like, how do you figure out what story? It's hard. You see what I mean? Which takes me right into my next question, which is where should the baby boomer start when looking to define their personal brand?
Well, it comes down to where do you want to go? And I was, you know, we came up with the term career pivot because very often as we go through our lives, we go through a variety of pivots. In other words, we're not making huge career changes. We make incremental shifts. And the question is, where do you want to go next? And then how do you want to portray yourself, again, being authentic, to get you to that next place? And, you know, is it, you know, how you manage? Is it your skill set? Is it your personality? What is it about you? Are you adaptable? What makes you what makes you special? I commonly joke, I always claim I'm really special. And by the way, those things that make you special are what things that make you different.
Yeah, and I'm chuckling over here, and I'll tell you why I'm chuckling, because sometimes when you say to somebody, what makes you special, they stare at you like you're from outer space, you know? They go completely blank. Because...
Oh, yes.
We're not used to thinking of ourselves in those kinds of terms, you know?
Yeah, in some ways, it's where don't you fit? And by the way, where you don't fit is what makes you different.
Oh, that's
And by the way, what makes you different is where your value is.
Oh, interesting.
So I'll use the example. I use my clients, the Berkman Assessment. And one of the things I get out of the Berkman, it has a behavioral patterns report. And it will tell you, the odd combinations of behaviors. So I'll use the example. I'm working with a woman right now who's actually pretty introverted, but she's very direct.
Oh, that's odd.
Or I have my favorite is my cause-driven, people-oriented geek.
Yeah,
which as we know is an oxymoron. That's what makes him different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you know, one of the joys of doing what I've done, I do a lot of personality assessments. with people, and we kind of really dig into it. And one of the key pieces is it's those odd combinations that makes you special. And that's where you, it's rather than saying, oh, that's how I'm different, that's bad. No, that's how you're different, that's good.
That's unique.
That's what makes you unique. Now, it means you don't necessarily always fit in the, you know, the cookie cutter of corporate America, but it's finding the right place. And again, with my cause-driven, people-oriented geek, that's what makes him different. And by the way, what we did with him was we started looking at companies that the corporate mission was very much in his values, that matched with his values.
Oh.
Because he was very cause-driven.
I see.
Right?
Now,
this is no different. Back in the 1990s, I did a stint with IBM Global Services. And of all things, I did a stint at EasyCorp, pawn shops.
Interesting.
And after 9 months, I couldn't do it anymore. It violated my values. Loaning money to the poor at 20% a month interest was kind of bleh. And that's, you know, it's and again with him, it was very much understanding this is who he is, and that's how we branded him.
So that actually turned out to be a strength of his for that organization, for what the organization's mission is all about. Yeah.
That's right. He couldn't go work for anybody.
Right.
Go ahead.
Keep going. So you specifically?
We specifically targeted companies that had missions, and we were looking at clean energy and sustainable food change and education and green energy and things that resonated with him.
Yes. You know, after I'm glad you wrote this book, by the way, Personal Branding for Baby Boomers, because baby boomers find it difficult to do that sort of thing anyway. One of the things that I have noted since you wrote the book and you talk about your personal story and your personal brand is that almost everybody is always talking about their personal brand from the perspective of their personal story. I have noticed, I don't know if anyone else has noticed, including you, but almost every person out there who is successful always has a personal story that they use as part of the introducing themselves to their audience or introducing themselves to the client or getting people to know who they are and what they're all about. And it's so skillfully written and done that it's pretty seamless into whatever it is they're focused on, whether it's coaching or training or speaking or whatever it is. But every single one of them has a story. I mean, even the Chicken Soup for the Soul guys tell their story of trying to sell Chicken Soup for the Soul. And even Brian Tracy, he has his personal story that he uses when he talks about any of his products and services. So people have been using that personal story as part of their brand and their introduction to an audience for a long, long time. It's just that now it's imperative that you...
Well, it's imperative that you understand what your brand is. So when you, I've had several clients, after we finish writing their brand story, their comment to me is, wow, I can explain myself now.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they're too close to themselves. And so your brand story is used in many different ways. It's not just, it's used in your LinkedIn profile. I put it in the summary section. It's used when you talk to people. It's used in just simply how you describe yourself. And it filters into so many different aspects of our professional lives.
Yeah.
So it's both a story and it's a concept. Who are you? It's similar to when I go out and network with people. I really don't care what you do for a living. I want to know who you are. Why should I care?
Yeah. That's true. Can your brand shift around?
Well, you're going to use your brand should be consistent. Now, will your brand change over time? The answer is yes.
Okay.
When I was working for IBM and I was literally a full-time speaker for IBM, I used to describe myself as an articulate techno-weenie, which we know is an oxymoron. But I reached a point where I didn't want to do any more technology stuff.
Me too.
So I don't use that anymore. I don't want to do any tech stuff anymore. I'm sick of it. By the way, I'm really good at it, but I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
So I have changed my brand. I'm now a recovering engineer.
I like that.
And so, yes, it will change because, by the way, we all grow and change. So your brand isn't necessarily, as you said earlier, when you were 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, that changes over time.
Yeah.
And by the way, you need to manage it.
Tell us about that. How do you do that?
Well, number one, today, if I go back to when I first joined IBM in 1978, the people who knew me were people I worked with, people here in Austin, Texas, where I live. I developed a brand with certain people outside of the local economy, but it was pretty local. Today, with social media, with video, I'll use the example. My last corporate gig was with Life Size Communications, which was high definition video conferencing. And when I left, I was the head of training there. I've developed a corporate certification and training. The number of people I knew worldwide that I had become really good friends was enormous.
Yeah.
I had developed the class example. There was one young lady in Hong Kong who managed our she was our demo coordinator in Asia. She used to refer to me as Uncle Mark. And we met face to face maybe twice in 3 years, but we developed pretty keen relationships together. I had people all over the world who knew me well, and it was through video, it was through phone, it was through email, it was through social media, it was through a variety of different that we developed actually pretty good relationships. So now the people who you know are not just in your where you live, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. They're all around the world. Yeah.
So how you are perceived when people find you on social media, when they look at your LinkedIn profile, they look at your Twitter bio, or they start interacting. I can't tell you the people I've met through Twitter and then end up having phone calls. I mean, the classic example is Hannah Morgan, who's the career Sherpa. She's up in Rochester, New York. Her and I are best buds. And we met over Twitter.
Yeah.
And have I ever met her face to face? No, we've done a blab together, and we've done some other things together, but no, I haven't gotten within probably 2,000 miles of her.
Yeah, I have a few
right?
very very close friends like that around the world as well. Yeah, that I feel very close to, and I've even done some Google seminars with and webinars with for their organization, and never met them face to face, but feel very close to them.
Yes.
Oh,
and you know, when you get the opportunity, so I've been, for example, I've partnered with flexjobs.com, and I've done some webinars for them, and last July I was at the National Career Development Association conference, and Jennifer Bias, who I deal with, was there.
Oh boy!
So we actually got to talk face to face, but we had done two or three webinars together. But you know, it's, but we met all over social media. You know, we met electronically. And I, and one of the things is, and one of the compliments I've gotten, Anna was the first one who told me this, is says, oh, you talk like you write.
Well, that's interesting.
And that's one of the things is learning, you know, how do people perceive you, and do you, you know, as you put things in social media, do you present the same persona as you do in person?
Yeah.
Because one of the things you do is you don't want to be fake.
That's true. That's true. Or you're done for. Absolutely.
Well, this is no different in the day of where you would go in and interview for a job, and if you interviewed as a different person than who you really are, very often when you got into the job, you found, wow, this is not a good fit.
Yes. That's true. And
you got to be authentic.
You'd be right back out looking for a job. So what are some of the key elements that most boomers should focus on? Please.
Okay.
And like, I'm curious.
When writing your brand story, the first thing is, and you have to learn how to write somewhat like a news editor or a journalist. When writing the story, I want a strong lead in. So I'll use the example I put in mind at the very beginning is I've had an eclectic career, to say the least. It gets you to want to say, oh, I want to read the rest. So whenever you start looking at your brand, how do I reach out and grab you to say, I want to hear more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second piece is you want a really good label. I'm working right now with a woman who's has a PhD in assessments, and one of the things we're looking at doing is she's done. We're thinking of calling her the MacGyver of assessments. In other words, she's rolled out K through 16 assessments with very little money, you know, using baling wire and matchsticks. But it sets the stage for her to tell the story. And similarly, I said I now refer to myself as a recovering engineer. People kind of get that. I do everything I do with my clients fits into a system. That's what makes me different. What I want you is to have a really strong label, and then I have three themes that I use in writing your story. The first one is if there has been a major event or a single thing that brought you to why you do what you're doing today. In my case, it's my bike accident. 13 years ago, I was riding my bicycle, came down a hill. I hit the bottom of the hill at about 30 miles an hour. I turned into a blind curve, and I hit a Toyota Corolla going the other direction, going about 30 miles an hour. And I totaled the car. Obviously, I lived. They had me walking. I spent 5 days in the trauma center. They had me walking on crutches in 3 days. I was back in a bike in 10 weeks. I was flying back to China in 4 months. I broke a bunch of bones. I tore up a knee. I broke a bunch of ribs, broke the hip. But I had no internal injuries and no brain injuries I'm willing to admit to. And because people think I'm crazy anyway. And so that drove me to doing things like going off and teaching high school math. I did a stint at the Jewish Community Center. By the way, being a non-Jew, being the face of a Jewish organization is interesting. And then I relapsed and went back to another startup. But nonetheless, it drove me. I had one client where you could literally tie everything she does today because she was a ballerina.
Wow.
The second theme is if there is a common theme that has weaved their way through their careers. I had one client who actually had worked for me where she had started out her career getting a voice degree. She worked for a brewer in improv after she graduated, ended up becoming a flight attendant, ended up training flight attendants, then got into learning and development, and now she's a community manager for a startup. And the key theme that weaves it all the way through her career was she knew how to connect the dots.
Hey,
she knew how to connect people to ideas to products. She was like in the plane, she was good at dealing with the front of the plane, low emotions, the pilots, and the back of the plane, high emotions, the flight attendants. But the common theme was she was good at connecting things. She didn't see that.
That's me, and I see it. So I immediately, right? Instantaneously related to that story because I'm a connected dots
right.
person. Yeah.
Okay. The third is I've had a number of clients, and this is probably a good 30% to 40% of my clients, is they fit in a box. So I go, come up with a good headline, and then proof point, proof point, proof point. I find this true with a lot of technology folks. So, for example, I had a client who we ended up labeling her. She was a playmaker. She knew how to get stuff done. She didn't do the work. She made it happen. Now, by the way, I wanted to call her the fairy godmother. She made all your dreams come true. She didn't like that because the fairy godmother is always purple and fat.
That's funny.
But she, once she was done, she's going, wow, yes, I am a playmaker. I know how to make everyone work. And then we just did three proof points.
That's a great skill.
Right? And
yeah,
and we're all different.
Yeah.
All right? So not one of these models fits everybody. Many of us don't have that single event. This is where I've had some of the best brand stories I've had have been written by adult daughters.
Really?
Because they will see things in mom and dad and will be able to articulate it better than anybody else.
That's very interesting.
It's quite fascinating. I don't get it happen very often, but I've had two absolutely brilliant brand stories done by adult daughters.
I'm surprised.
And right, and so they can again. You don't see yourself, and so usually when I hand it off to somebody else to write, very often we tell them how the story itself and let them go write, but then they'll add certain flair to it, and that's the real key because most of us don't really we suck at bragging about ourselves.
We do. We are on, a lot of people are just completely uncomfortable with it.
Oh, yes. Well, we were taught not to brag.
Yeah.
By the way, so that's what we did with our kids. We taught them how to do it.
And now that's all they do.
Yep.
Brag.
Well,
yeah.
Well, they ask for what they want. Why? Because we tell them to do that. We
yeah.
told them. Go ask for what you want. They do all the things that we wanted to do, but we never did.
Yeah.
So, right? So that's where build all of these will help you construct, number one, the story, how do you grab people? And then how do you construct the story? And again, we're all different.
Yeah.
And all of this is book. I'm a recovering engineer, so everything is formulaic in the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the book. I love it because everything you teach in the book, as you write about it, you end each section with, Now what? What next? Now that you know that, what are you going to do about it? and so in each instance, you so say, here's your action steps. Here's the next thing that you should do to execute on what you just read about in the book. So I really enjoyed it because of that, because it's not just telling me a bunch of stuff. It also helps me figure out how to execute on the things that I just read about, which is really, really helpful. What has been the key to establishing your personal brand?
Well, for me, it's understanding what my brand is. And that's been through a lot of self-reflection. I have on my website, I have a career reflection worksheet. Again, doing a lot of the things I ask my clients to do. Two, once I understand how I want to be perceived, which, by the way, is be approachable, I want to be thought of as knowledgeable. I give, you know, on my website, you've seen, I'm an avid blogger, and I want to be seen as a giver. And so that all of those concepts, I then can carry out in my actions.
Yes.
And this is everything from my picture, and I use a consistent picture across all of my social media platforms. By the way, I have no taste, so I have an image consultant who picks out my clothes, my colors. I have zero taste. Which, by the way, a lot of us guys don't. I don't pick out any clothes anymore. I've realized, okay, something I don't know how to do. And then it's being consistent and being on message in both my writing and in my behaviors. Mm-hmm. And by the way, where we usually get off message is when we get into stress.
Interesting.
And it's when we get into stress is to be able to identify, okay, what's driving me into stress and what can I do about it? It all comes back to know thyself. And some of us need to go get help doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard to know yourself. It really is.
Right.
Because of what I said earlier. We know what our intentions are, but we don't know how we come across. And to your point about stress, when we're stressed out, we're going to come across completely different than when we're calm, relaxed, and in a jovial mood.
That's right. Yeah, so for example, one of the things I do with my clients when I take them out of the Berkman has a thing called a stress report. And it'll give you your top 40 needs, and then it'll give you a bunch of actions that will help you, that you can do. It suggests that you will to stay out of stress. Some of which you'll find you're already doing, and some of them I suggest you might want to give a try. But out of those 40 needs, I have you pick out 10 to 15 that you say, yep, I need this, I need this, I need this. And then develop a set of open-ended questions that you can consistently ask when you're talking to people about career issues and where you might want to go work. That and allow you to listen for the key, what makes a good place for you to go work.
Yeah.
I'll use for myself is, I am what, by Berkman terms, is I am very low change, which is don't screw with my schedule and don't interrupt me. which, by the way, one of the most important things I discovered for myself after knowing that is to stop the Outlook automatic download.
Oh, you mean for you to manually download mail rather than have it just automatically?
Because I have bright shiny object syndrome. Every 20 minutes it goes bing, and it's like, oh, I got to look at the mail. I got to go look at my email. No, I don't.
No, you don't.
It interrupts me.
I'm with you
and that's not good for me.
It's not good for anybody, and that's part of time management too, because it can constantly disrupt your day and take you off your game.
Yes. And I'm an extreme case of that. And so it's okay. I do much better when I stop that. Again, it's just simply knowing yourself. And once you know yourself, then you can start authentically explaining yourself. And it's kind of pinning down to, okay. By the way, one of the things I've just discovered with a lot of my clients is it's more important who they work with than what they do.
Oh, that's interesting. What is that?
Well, it's because if they are, particularly if they are, I did some blog posts on if you're a square peg. In other words, you just don't fit in the typical environment.
Yeah.
It's more important of who you work with. It's the environment is more important than exactly what you're doing. Working with people you like, people who are like-minded, people who will accept you for who you are, for these people is real important.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the problems in our society is we want to cookie cutter things and we want to put people in boxes and it doesn't work. So first thing is understand who you are. And then you can authentically put that into a story so people understand that.
So first, one of the keys to establishing that brand is you need to know who you are.
Yeah. Well, I've just done a... Go ahead.
I was wondering. It just crossed my mind. I'm thinking, okay, so we said that this was for people who are 50-plus, but what if you're 60-plus? You know, people think people who are 60-plus, they're done for, you know? What if you're one of those 60-plus people who you don't have this big cushion nest egg to live on and you still have to work and you still have to do something with your life? But, you know, corporate America has said, we're so done with you that just forget about it. You know, can a personal brand work for somebody who's over 60?
Well, I'm soon going to join that crowd next year. Because, by the way, for many of us, I'm sorry, I'm done with corporate America. I am not going to go back and work for corporate America. My only problem is I work for myself, which means I work for a jerk. And so, therefore, I plan on working. My plan is never to retire. My plan is to work less at things I enjoy.
Me too. I agree.
So understanding what my brand is real critical because I'm going to keep on communicating it and I'm going to keep on because I want, when I put my brand out there, I will attract the kind of people and the jobs and the opportunities that are attracted to my brand.
Yeah.
So I need to be able to explain that.
That's very, very true. Very true. And part of why I asked you that is because earlier today I spoke to someone and said, oh, I'm going to have Mark Miller on and we're going to talk about branding for baby boomers. And the person said, baby boomers don't need branding. People are 60 years old. They're done. They don't need that. What are you going to do with that? So
About 80% of baby boomers will not retire as planned.
Exactly.
They don't have the money to retire as planned.
That's why I asked the question.
And by the way, most don't want to retire as planned.
Well, of course not, because they're vital, they're active, they are still learning and growing, they're excited, and that's why your career pivot, I like the name, because at that point, at that 60 years old or whatever point, they're going to pivot around. But, you know, this week I was teaching a class I had a lot of young people in the class, and we talked about all the different generations in the workplace. And one of them said, you know, I have somebody working for me who's 67 years old. He said, I have some 20-somethings on my team, and I have a 67-year-old on my team. And I actually had him repeat it because I didn't believe him. And he said, nope, got somebody working on my team who's 67 years old, and they're vital and full of energy and all that kind of stuff. So I found that interesting.
Yep.
Some of them are still in the workplace.
So where do you want to go from here?
Where do we want to go from here? Where do any baby boomers want to go from here? You know, that's part of why I was excited about having you on the show, you know, to ask you the question so that they can get the answer.
Well, it's learning, it's getting on social media, it's putting out your brand on social media, it's how do I demonstrate my expertise. again, it comes down to how do I know your stuff.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of my career in high tech, where most of what I knew was proprietary. And so, therefore, if I was still in tech, I would have to go out and start demonstrating what I know. I had a client here recently who was 59 years old. He was a sales guy for manufacturing equipment that had to do with food. He was displaced after 20 years. And what we did on his LinkedIn profile was we built a brand story, but then at the end of the brand story, we put links to all the products he sold over the last 15 years. And these were really complex pieces of machinery. And it was like, wow, this guy knows his stuff. And it very much built, so when people went to his LinkedIn page, and we did various things to draw people to his LinkedIn page, they went, this guy knows his stuff. And it was a combination of his brand story, but also all the technical information about these very sophisticated manufacturing equipment that he had adapted and had been used by a lot of different, these were all having to do with food packaging. Everything from coffee to Jimmy Dean sausages to all kinds of different stuff. Yeah, I learned a lot about Chubb machines, which is how to package sausage.
So what you're saying is demonstrating your expertise and your knowledge is part of the way that you present yourself within your brand, along with your story.
Yes.
So that
again,
they
how do I know you know your stuff?
Yeah. Exactly. That's pretty good. How do I know you know
your stuff? For example, as a public speaker, one of the things that we all do is we want to put up a video of us presenting. So, because it shows that you know that you're a professional in what you're doing. If you are a programmer, you want to put code snippets up on GitHub. If you are a marketing professional, maybe you want to link or upload different work products that you've done, you know, flyers or links to websites that you have done.
Yeah.
You know, again, these are all about how you package up your brand.
Yes. Yes. Well, I got another question for you. Just crossed my mind
Sure.
here again. Because you stimulate a lot of thought with the things that you're saying. One of the things from that professional look perspective is in your book you talked about your photograph, and there was something in there about your jaw, your chin, or what
your chin line.
The chin line. Can you tell us about that? What's that about?
Sure. Number one, your chin line has a lot to do is how you appear, particularly in a photographic environment. The chin line, if you have shadows underneath the chin, by the way, that adds 10 pounds, And most of us guys don't care, but you ladies do. Two, the chin lines, how the chin appears has a lot to of how you appear. So things like not looking directly into the camera, looking to the side, having the chin out. By the way, if your chin is out, you won't have all the wrinkles underneath your chin. So the chin line, and in the book, I link to a video done by a well-known photographer out of California, out of L.A., on how to do the chin line. How do you make yourself look good? And similarly, in the book, I talk about camera angles, because one of the things you want to be able to do is you want to brand your picture. The message that your picture tells should be aligned with who you want to attract. And the example I use is my buddy Nando, and Nando's a creative. And Nando's picture, the one he originally had, only showed half his face.
Ah.
Now I show that to executives, and they go, "Ugh, well, you're not the person he's trying to attract. He's trying to attract creatives who say, wow, that's cool."
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very true.
Who are you trying to attract?
Who are
you trying to attract? And by the way, besides the chin line, the other piece that's real important is your background. Your background tells you a lot about you. And I use, my picture is done on a green screen, so I have multiple backgrounds.
Oh, how clever.
And the one that's on LinkedIn happens to have a bridge behind me, which in Austin is a very iconic bridge. And I use it in at different times. So when I presented last year at South by Southwest, I used that picture. Why? Because people who came to Austin said, "Oh, he's from Austin." Yeah, I'm from Austin. I'm cool. our motto here is keep Austin weird. So it's the idea was is I'm that's part of my branding.
Got it.
Okay. And so you have to think through these things. Similarly, use your headshot. Is rectangular. When you take that picture and put it on social media pictures are square. So number one, you will have to get cropped, and once you crop the image, does your background still work?
Oh, there's something. Yeah.
Right. So in my case, when I crop it, by the way, you can still see the bridge.
Ah. So you have to think
of that. Placed very specifically so that it got cropped. So when it cropped, it was planned that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You've given us a lot to talk to think about here.
Okay. Yes, I told you, I'm a recovering engineer. I think through this stuff.
Yes. So I think we are close to the end of our time. So do you have any final comments for our listeners regarding this personal branding?
None of this branding happens overnight. It takes a lot of introspection, and it takes getting some help. Now, some of it's coming from you can hire someone like me. You can talk to coworkers. The example I gave you before the show was I had one client who, as he was telling me his story, he figured out his brand because he had repetitively built teams through his career, and when he was done building the team, he moved on, and the team thrived after he left. Yeah. And it was him just simply telling his story to someone else, he finally went, wow. You know, when he got to the fifth time he did it, he went, "I didn't realize that." Oh. And so, it's a process that does take time, but you will rarely do it inside your head.
Good point.
So it's you're gonna, whether it's someone like me or it's finding a friend who has a marketing background, or it's a spouse or a brother or sister, you need to get some help. Get out of your head.
I like that. I like that. That's a wonderful place to end our program. Thank you very much, Mark.
Okay.
For an enlightening interview. Thank you so much. I learned a lot. And just one last thing before we close out the show, I want to remind everybody that you can learn more about Mark by going to CareerPivot, that's CareerPivot.com. And lots of information there for you, including a lot of free stuff, folks. So make sure you go and visit. My thanks to you, Mark, and thanks to all our listeners for joining us today for the Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. And join us again next month on the second Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Until then, let me leave you with these final thoughts by Dave Buck. Your brand is a gateway to your true work. You know you are here to do something, to create something or help others in some way. The question is, how can you set up your life and work so that you can do it? The answer lies in your brand. When you create a compelling brand, you attract people who want the promise of your brand, which you deliver. Thank you very much. Remember, find yourself, live your dreams, and be happy. And also follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/Yvonne-F-Brown. Leave your comments about today's show. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.